have an opportunity to stand, don't do that and join with me as we look at the Word of God. It says this in verse number 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. Wow, he was a pretty eager guy to squash the church, wasn't he? He was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. So amazing, isn't it? What a heart of stone this man had. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." A very profound moment. So, Father, thank you for your divine wisdom in including these truths in these passages. Help us to not only listen to them, but be transformed by them, by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The story goes on to say, verse number 20, "And immediately Paul began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is indeed the Son of God.'" You talk about a transformation. "All who heard him were amazed." Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked? "And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests?" Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. After a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. They were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. And during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. Wow. Agreement and accountability brings victory in our lives. We know the story of Saul. He hated Christians. He was a very high-ranking Jew in the upper echelons of the theology of the Jewish culture. He did everything he could to go persecute them, to put them to death. And then one day, Jesus interrupted him. He knocked him off his horse, and he fell to the ground. And the word says that Saul had an experience with Jesus Christ. He had a complete turnaround, 180 in his life. So he begins to preach the gospel of Jesus everywhere he goes now. Jesus has changed him. His name has changed from Saul to Paul. And everybody knew that Saul hated Christians. So when he was converted to our Lord, very few people would accept the fact that his conversion was genuine. We're not sure about this. No one trusted Saul because of his past. And in addition to the saints who were understandably skeptical of Saul's conversion, after all, now he's preaching to people whose families he's disrupted, jailed, put to death, and he's telling them about the love he has now for Jesus. Now, on top of that, the religious people begin to plot against Saul. They want him dead. They don't want this guy running around, a convert to Christianity, but their plot became known to Saul. And Paul's disciples then took Paul and in the middle of the night avoided the trap at the city gates, and they lowered Paul over the wall of the city in a basket. And Paul escapes, and the disciples held the rope for Paul, and it saved his life as they lowered him over the wall down to the ground outside the city so he could make his way away from harm. They placed him in some kind of a container, lowered him to the other side of the wall, saved his life, saved his ministry. It saved him from all of his past because he had those who were willing to stand with him. And the point of the story is this: no matter who we are, we all need someone to help us at some point in our lives. I don't care if you're black, white, tall, short, overweight, underweight, no matter who you are, everybody needs somebody to hold the rope for you. Now, you might come to your Connect group, and if you haven't joined one, you need to do that. because this is a serious matter, being connected in the body of Christ. You may come to a group, you have a family problem beyond what you can cope. You need somebody who can hold the rope. Maybe you're sick and can't get well. You need the power of agreement. You need someone to lay hands on you. You need someone who will hold the rope for you, no matter whom you are. Sometimes you need somebody to encourage you when you're going through a valley financially. Am I right? We need someone to guide us and lead us and direct us, which means we have to come into agreement with members of the body of Christ and into accountability with one another. Someone who will point you in the right direction. Someone who will hold a rope in your life, because I don't care how good you are at what you do. One is never enough. And there are times when you need someone to join their faith with yours. No matter who you are, you need someone to stand with you when you go through times of trouble. Anybody ever been in any of those? And if you don't have anybody to stand with you in your time of trouble, you are going to struggle in that time of trouble. You're going to have to be connected, and you need to be connected in a small group. You're going to need people who will pray for you, who will partner with you, someone to hold the rope for you when you need to make your way of escape. Tell somebody, hold the rope for me. There are many times in people's lives when you need someone to hold the rope when you're sick and you're going through a season of illness. You need someone to hold the rope, not just for you, but for your family members. You need people at times when there is no other help you can rely on your connections in the body of Christ. Because if you're going to conclude this year in victory, you're going to have the power of agreement in your life. Jesus spoke of agreement time and again. You have to make up your mind that you're through being a loner, that you're going to go all by yourself. You're through trying to ride through life all on your own. The fact is, though, if you're a loner, what it tells us is that you've got too much baggage piled up somewhere. And if you're not careful, that baggage is going to collapse in on you. You're going to be lonely. You're going to be broken. You're going to be hurting. The fact that you're alone says you have to deal with some things in your past so you can get your act together and be a part of God's family. Somebody say, I'm getting it together before this year is over. Come on. The Master told us we need the power of agreement in our lives. He told us we've got to get the strife and division out of our lives. And the enemy's plan is to bring so much strife and division and stress around you that neutralizes the power of agreement in life. And Jesus taught us a house divided against itself cannot stand. I don't care who you are, a divided house is going to fall. And the story of the Lord's Supper is the story about God's people sharing together, being together in communion, in connection, in fellowship. You see, it's all the story of how God has assembled his family, joining together. You can't make it successfully through this life without the power of agreement and without other people helping you. You need to be in church on a regular, faithful basis because the scripture teaches that's what the early church did. In fact, Paul goes on to warn us later in the scripture that we are not only to be in church, but when we see the end of days nearing, we need to be sure we don't skip, that we in fact do this even more. You need to attend a small group and be connected at least once a week with others in the family of God. And the reason the enemy is always attempting to divide people in churches is so he can conquer the church. The reason he's always attempting to divide your house is so he can conquer everybody in your house. When your house is divided, not only are you and your wife going to be conquered, that your children's legacy can be affected by the brokenness the enemy inflicts in your family. And sometimes you have to acquire just some plain good sense. As long as there's bickering and fighting in your life, the devil doesn't have to worry about you very much. As long as there's strife and division in your life, the enemy can sit back related to you, just fold his arms, and just watch you self-destruct. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about this morning? We desire a fresh anointing in our lives so we can walk in unity. The scripture tells us clearly that it's that kind of unity that the Lord blesses. How beautiful and pleasant it is for the brethren to walk together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. When they anointed you in that day, they pretty well soaked you all together in the anointing of the Lord. And that's the way we need to be anointed today, because there the Lord commands his blessing. It's in unity that the Lord blesses his people. People fight over stuff that's not worth fighting over. The scripture says one of us can put 1,000 to flight and two of us can put 10,000 to flight. Your power in the spirit is multiplied by 10 when there's the power of agreement. And maybe that's why you haven't seen a breakthrough yet. You're always bickering, always complaining and fighting, allowing strife to get into your thinking process. The word says that a threefold cord is not easily broken, which simply means you can take a pencil and without a lot of work, you know, you can snap that thing in half. But if you take three pencils and wrap them tight with a rubber band, it becomes extremely difficult to break those pencils, because together they are stronger than the one. And if we're going to conclude 2018 in victory, if we're going to get where God's taking us this year, if we want to see the anointing of God rise in us as the body of Christ this year, if we're going to get that business turned around that needs to get fixed in our lives, then we're going to have the power of agreement in our lives. Who's ready for a turnaround in life? Anybody? You're going to have to get the power of agreement moving in your life if you're ever going to see the breakthrough happen that you're praying for. In 2 Chronicles 5, you're reminded of Solomon as he's dedicating the most elaborate house of worship ever built on planet Earth. It's the temple of the Lord. And he's gathered the singers and the musicians, and they begin to sing and worship and play their instruments. And I look at this passage, and I'm always astounded every time I read it. It says, the priests who were present sanctified themselves. So we have to sanctify ourselves. We got to get stuff out of our hearts. It doesn't belong there. The Levites who were singers, listen, it says, they were clothed in white linen. They had cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. When the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord with one voice, saying, he is good and his mercies endure forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud of his presence, that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, because the glory of the Lord filled the house. God blesses people who come together as one. Now, when you get that many people together, they're going to come from all different backgrounds and opinions and persuasions. But when they sanctify themselves and become as one, notice the glory of the Lord fills the place. Amen? Let the body of Christ unite under the head of the church, Jesus the Christ. Everybody set aside his or her differences, and the anointing of the Lord will be so strong in this house, it will shake us up and out into a place that God has planned for us, places beyond which we have ever dreamed. Remember in the Old Testament, the original Hebrew scriptures was a picture of how God wanted to bring to us a new covenant. And when you see the picture of the anointing of the Spirit in their worship because they were in agreement, and how the power of God fell, well, likewise, there were 120 in an upper room in the new covenant, and the power of the Lord fell when they were of one mind and one accord. It's a picture that shows us that we need to believe God so that we can walk in his renewal and walk together as one. A married couple cannot produce a baby unless they couple together. Life cannot be reproduced without the power of agreement. And that's why the enemy is always attempting to bring strife into people's lives. He's always trying to bring strife between you and your spouse, between you and your friends. always attempting to bring strife between you and family members. When the enemy gets you into strife, he prevents you from achieving his purposes and his plans for you and for the church. People with issues. I have an issue with the husband. I have an issue with the wife. I have an issue with the brother-in-law. I have an issue with the pastor. There's always an issue. Somebody's got an issue. And you know, they never see the power of God move in their lives. That's because they allow strife and division in their life, and it steals everything they've got. It's tight, but it's right. Amen? Bickering and fighting stops the power of God in your life. If you're going to get your act together this year, you have to root strife out of your life. You're going to have to let go of issues. You have to seek the Lord fresh. Say, no more strife in my life. And you'll never have the success you should have until you learn the value of teamwork. Hold the rope. Took a team to save his life that day. Hold the rope. Success is never about an independent attitude of doing it my way. It's about kingdom accountability, teamwork. It's about working together. Success comes in a marriage when you root out the strife and you work toward a common cause, common goals. Anytime you're a part of a team, everything is much easier. And whenever you're part of a team, the power of God is released into your life because you've rooted out strife and division. Listen to the wise man. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. Pretty wise words, aren't they? In other words, you know that the water is behind the floodgate. It's there in the dam. And you open the gate and it begins to flow. And you cannot put it back in there. You can't pull it back. Quarreling and bickering is the same way. Don't let it break out because you may never be able to get it back. And if you plan on making money someday and improving your financial position, you need not be broke all your life. Get your act together and work together as a team. Sacrifice this year so you can have what you wanted to have next year. If you plan on making money one day, you got to get division out of your life. You can't have two visions. This is what I want to do. This is what I think we should do. And those things are taking you in two different directions. You've got to get on the same page. Say, I'm putting the Lord first. I'm honoring him. I'm bringing my tithe. I'm blessing the kingdom of God. And I'm singularly visioned. And I'm pointing in the direction of the Lord. God's going to bless that. Because wealth will not come until you get the power of agreement in your life and then you build a team around yourself. Quit blaming other people for lack of success. Start with yourself. Examine yourself to get our own acts together. No matter how good we are and what we do, one person is not enough. We all need the power of network. We all need the power of connection. If you want speed, you have to have a team. If you want to have success, you have to have a team. I don't care how good you are. You've got to have somebody who holds the rope because there's going to come a time you're going to wake up and go, I can't make it by myself. Would you please hold the rope for me? Have you ever asked anybody to help? It takes two batteries to make a flashlight work. You and your team are like a flashlight. Together, you've got the power to make things brighter. By yourself, you've got very little power. But greatness comes when two or more people are working toward common goals. When two people in marriage work toward common goals, they can accomplish anything. Where any two agree is touching anything, Jesus said, it shall be done for them. That's why you learn early to forgive others. You've got to let go of stuff. That's why you have to trust God and you have to be fresh in your walk with him. No matter how talented you are, you can't achieve as much by yourself as you can with a team. And you can get your act together by simply making some changes. Let me ask you this question. Are you a team player? Does it always have to be just your way? Are you flexible? Are you too rigid? Are you hard to get along with? All you got to do is ask people around you. They'll tell you. Ask a sister in the body of Christ. Am I hard to get along with? Ask a brother in the body of Christ what he thinks. Am I hard to get along with? And the attitude becomes among some in the church, well, I see your baggage, but I just don't think I have any. Okay. That devil's a liar, right? Because of people's past and all the baggage, they tend to start isolating, but rarely does a loner do anything of great value by themselves. The belief that you can do something great all by yourself is a myth. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, see? Anybody here ready to have your act together, right? You got to make changes. Nothing of significance is ever achieved in a vacuum, working by yourself. When you think about Thomas Edison, with all of his achievements and inventions, he still had a team of people who worked alongside of him. Albert Einstein gave much credit to those who assisted him when he was working on the theory of relativity. Aviator Lindbergh had the backing of 9 businessmen from St. Louis. I mean, Sheriff Wyatt Earp had 2 brothers and Doc Holliday. I mean, why do you think he was so successful cleaning up Tucson? Teamwork is how this great country was built. Teamwork is how great churches are built. Teamwork is how great businesses are built. Teamwork, it's how great families are built. And if you're a loner, you can make excuse as to why you're a loner. Well, that's just the way I am. And I like it. That's just the way I am. I'm my own man. Yep. And that's foolish talk. It's time to make changes in your life. Need somebody to hold a rope for you. Only a foolish thinking person thinks, I can do this all by myself. I can travel life all alone. You can get your act together this year. Listen, if you'll gather the right people around you and you begin to get connected in this family and connected with one another, you'll begin to root out the discord and the power of agreement will begin to take hold. And then comes the blessing of the Lord, which eventually will bring you great success. And make no mistake, if you've got strife and division, you're going to have to grow and mature in the Lord. And it's going to have to start with you at the core. Quit praying, God, change the man I'm married to. And start praying, God, change me. And help me with my baggage. Help me with my issues. And instead of assisting the enemy to destroy each other, you ought to be praying for one another, bearing one another's burdens, holding the rope. It was discovered during World War I and II and then in ensuing battles and conflicts that isolation of POWs would cause many of them to snap and to flip out. The devil wants to steal God's power in your life by separating you, keeping you as a loner. Being a loner will stop your success. And I'm saying this to help you, not to hurt you. When you come to the Lord, you come with all kinds of issues. All of us come that way. It's called baggage. It might be from the rejection that you suffered in your past. It might be from low self-esteem. The baggage may have accumulated because of molestation or abuse. There's baggage there. And if you're not careful, you can build all kinds of walls to push people away. And you live behind the walls as a loner. If you're not careful, you're just going to say, well, I'm a loner because that's the way I like it. I'm protected that way. God didn't create you to be a loner. God created you to be people-oriented, to function within the body as a member of the body, to need other people, to be in relationships. If you're a loner, don't say, this is the way that I like it. Or don't say, I don't like working with other people. Don't say that. Change. I said, change. You don't like working with people because you've got baggage, stuff you need to deal with. And once you do, you can allow other people into your life. I'm not saying anything here to offend anybody. I'm saying this because I want you to succeed, to make a good living in life, to be an overcomer, to watch a church experience explosiveness in growth and development and maturity, to be successful in relationships, to fulfill the purpose for which God created. You're not going to do as much by yourself as you will with a team around you. And if you're a loner, you're going to have to make yourself do things that you don't want to. And maybe it's time that you joined the worship team, or you became an usher, or you got involved with kids and helped in the ministry with children on our campus or off our campus with Sidewalk Kids. In other words, serve. You tag one of the staff here and you say, I want to serve. And this is the thing, these are the things I'm interested in doing, things that I like to do. Make yourself get out of that isolation. Make yourself go against the grain of the old flesh so you can begin to draw other people to Jesus and become a blessing to others. What am I preaching to you? To motivate your spirit man to get where God desires all of us to be. Had other ministers not invested in me, I wouldn't be where I am today. You can't do it by yourself. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how good you are. The devil doesn't have to make you terminally ill to destroy you. All he has to do is stir division and offense in your life. That's all he's got to do. With people at work, with people at church. All he has to do is get you divided with your family members, and he'll sit back and watch you self-destruct. You think a divorce is going to solve the problems? In most instances, divorce breaks the bank. Divorce is the devil's plan to steal your future, steal your destiny, to empty what you have in the bank right now. And if you're going to get your act together before the end of the year, you got to root out strife and root out division and start working on being a team player and be connected in the body of Christ. Individuals play games, but teams win championships. Unify and become accountable in the body. And no matter how great Joe Montana, a quarterback that he was, until he acquired Jerry Rice, he would have struggled to win a Super Bowl. As talented as one player is, until the line in front of him is protecting him, and he's got a back behind him who can run, and receivers who can break loose, there won't be a ring on the finger of a Super Bowl winner. Why do some people want to be loners? One reason is because they have baggage in their past. They've been hurt, and they can't bring themselves to trust anybody. Somebody betrayed you. You shared something, and they turned around and told other people, and you don't want to trust anymore. You don't know how to bring other people on your team because you've so isolated yourself. And that's when you have to take the mask off and look at yourself and quit living in denial. One of the fruits of codependency is denial. You get yourself, I don't need it, I don't have to do it. Quit denying that you've got some baggage and denying that you're a loner and start saying, I need help, Lord, and I need other people in my life, and help me now to learn to trust again because I can trust you and you will lead me to right people. Another reason people attempt to do things by themselves, because of pride. And so few people admit that they don't have it all together, no matter how good you are. You have to come to the point where you know, I can't do this by myself. And that takes humbling oneself. And listen, nowhere in the scripture are you encouraged to pray to God to humble you. In fact, probably that's not a prayer you want to pray. In fact, the scripture tells us we should humble ourselves before the Lord. It's much easier when we humble ourselves before God for him to bless us than for God to have to humble us. We've got to humble ourselves. An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. So if you stir up strife, you're going to struggle to prosper. Andrew Carnegie said, it marks a big step in your development when you realize that other people can help you do a better job than you can do alone. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I began to grow up, I put away my childish things. Say, I'm growing up this year. See, stop blaming somebody else for the problems. I'm through being a loner. I want to play on the team. That should be the attitude of every member of the body of Christ. Even if it's on the prayer team, whatever team I can play on, I'm going to be a part. Give me a role to play on the team. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Amen? And for the person attempting to do everything alone, let me tell you, the game's already over. Yeah. You're going to lose. The score on the board will not be in your favor. And if you want to do something big and significant, something that has influence, you have to have the power of agreement and accountability in your life. One is too small a number to achieve greatness. Another reason a person doesn't connect with the team, because of personal insecurities. Sometimes you aren't a part of the team because you feel threatened by other people. When you realize you can't do it by yourself, you begin to reach out in a new way. I'm here to say you need the power of God in your life. You need to examine your heart. If there's strife in there, do what the priests did upon the dedication of the temple. They sanctified themselves. Even those, if you read it carefully, that were not on duty that day, they all went and sanctified themselves so that God would bless them when they entered that house of worship, and God did. Don't allow strife in your marriage. Deal with the issues. Let them go. If your parents and your children wants to go to another church because they want to be entertained instead of hearing truth, you're about to have strife and division unless you remind yourself and your children, who are the minors in your house, that you are the parent and they are the children. And this is where we go to church, and you will go with us. You do not get the option, because I know better than you. And parents are designed that way by God to know better than their children. And God's telling you to unify in your home. You're the parent. You know, by God's help, what children need more than they do. So you learn by bringing your family into agreement not to allow strife to start to develop. Because once you allow a wedge to be driven in your home, it will be time and again that wedge will be driven over something else. Somebody needs to hold the rope and say, this is exactly how it's going to look. Because every kid growing up is going to want to tell mommy and daddy, I don't want to go to church today. I don't feel like going there today. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm tired. Every kid's going to do that. And you as a parent have to face the fact that that's going to happen to you. And you don't go, oh, poor little sweetie, you don't want to go today. Well, why don't you just stay home or go somewhere? No, this is where we're going. You're not sick. I just took your temperature. You can do it really fast now, right on the forehead, pop. Okay, you don't have a fever. Get out of bed, get your clothes on. You're going to church with us today. If you're murmuring and backbiting the people around you, the power of God's going to stop. It'll halt in your life. We're to encourage one another, pray for one another, bless one another, hold the rope for each other. And there's a reason why God tells you not to be unequally yoked. God knew that if you were associated with people who were not in agreement with his word, eventually life's not going to work out to the best end in your life. That's why you're not to covenant with unbelievers. That's why you're not to have a soul tie with people who will attempt to take you away from God's purpose from your life. That's why you stay clear of those who want to take you back into the sins of your past. Where any two agree is touching anything, it shall be done for them. So if your associations are not God-ordained, at some point you are going to be where they are. We are not to be unequally yoked. You're yoked up with someone who doesn't believe the word like you believe the word. You're unequally yoked. You're out of balance. You hope they're holding the rope for you, But you don't know if they're going to let go of that rope or not. You don't just want to let anybody hold the rope in your life. You have to have the power of agreement in your life if you're going to make it to your destiny. If your business is going to flourish, if your marriage is going to be fruitful, you don't want just anybody holding the rope for you. You don't want somebody dropping you. So if your associations and friends are compromisers, you will eventually acquire their attitude. When I gave my life to the Lord, He absolutely revealed to me, even though I loved some of the kids I neighborhood with, I knew I wasn't going to make it to my destiny if I kept choosing to hang with these homies. It wasn't going to happen. I was made to know I needed to choose my friends more wisely or I'd get myself in trouble. And that's a word for somebody here today. You need to take that home with you. If you hang out with those going away from God's purpose for your life, you're going to eventually walk like them, eventually talk like them, and eventually you will act out like them. Well, I'm just dating him to get him saved. The devil's whole plan is to get you to compromise your walk with Jesus. His plan is to get you out of agreement with God's word so he can isolate you and destroy you. The story of the prodigal son is the story of a son who didn't want anyone telling him what to do. Unaccountable. When you reach a point in your life when you are no longer teachable, you're in the most dangerous place you could ever be in and still be living. You're about to be destroyed and don't even know it. We should not partner in business with people who are not in agreement with God's word. They may try to get you to compromise, try to get you to cheat. I need you to do this. Well, I need you to fudge over here. No wonder God says, come out from that way of life and be separated. God knew the attitudes of compromising people blocks the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So if you're going to achieve God's purposes for your life, you have to be careful who your associations are. And since birds of a feather flock together, I can tell everything about you. I can tell where you're going when you tell me who your friends are. Samson thought he was so strong, he could keep dating unbelievers and still succeed in God's purposes. He thought he was so strong, he was undefeatable. But he ended up losing just about everything because of unequal yokes. He dropped the rope. He became unaccountable. And if you're going to achieve God's purposes, you're going to have to make adjustments and changes. I don't like that because it's hard. Yes, it is. So embrace it. It's good. This message is for anybody who is sick and tired of not being blessed. Anybody here sick and tired of not being blessed? For anyone who wants to achieve God's purposes, for anyone who wants to reverse the curse of failure, if I will abide in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I will be able to say, God, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. I trust in you. When Jesus said, are you tired? Come to me. And he said, take my yoke upon you. He's saying in the New Testament, I want you to come and get secluded with me. Stop all the stuff going on in your life and get secluded with me, and I will design a plan of refreshing just for you. But we have to make change for that to happen. That will not happen just because we breathe air. Change has to be made. So we get our act together. And if the enemy wants to defeat you, all he has to do is get us into strife and into division. If he's going to defeat us, all he's got to do is stop the power of agreement and connection. We have to be wiser than the devil. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Wow. Some powerful truth there, huh? Some are at the crossroads in life. There's strife in your life. And the Holy Spirit is trying to tap on the door. You're not playing on the team, and God's speaking to you. And because of not playing on the team, there's been setbacks and brokenness and unforgiveness. God is trying to speak into your heart. It's time to, let's move forward. And if you'll join the team, if you'll say, I'm in, I'll connect, I'll be a part of a small group, I'll be there on Sunday. Your entire future depends on what you do with this truth this morning. What will you do with God's word? What will you do with it? I call in my own life. I can track back to several defining moments, places where the Lord intersected my path, my travels, my journey, and knocked me off my horse, challenged me to obey his will. The stubbornness in all of us will always stand up and declare what we want. But if we're followers of Jesus, we have to tell the old stubborn nature, quiet. I'm going to do what the master wants me to do. When the enemy comes in to seduce you, and then the Spirit of God begins to convict you about how you're using your body in sexual relationships, and then that old nature doesn't want to be accountable. Well, who are you to tell me what to do? Don't condemn me. I'll do what I want. No, you give him your entire life. Say, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll give you what you ask. You'll honor me when I do that. When he spoke to me about my calling, if I hadn't listened, where would I be today? Obedience, the scripture says, is better than sacrifice. Your entire life will be tracked back to a few defining moments. Where do you want to be by the end of 2018? What do you want to be 1 year from now? What do you want to look like in your fulfillment of purpose 5 years from now? You ought to take time and sit down and write that all out, because you're at a crossroads. You got to make a decision. And if God is speaking, you want all of God that you can get. That should be at the top of your list. You decide to step into your defining moment. Defining moments include when I'm born again, when I begin to do what we've been urging everybody to do in the family of God, to begin to pay the tithe that belongs to the Lord. That's a defining moment. That's when history begins to be made. When I make the choice to not just attend church on Sunday, but to connect with a small group and become a part of this body, a functioning part and role to play. When I begin to serve in ministry, when I begin to submit my career to the Lord, listen, when you give him your whole life, he will use you for his glory. Amen? To walk away from a business that was your inheritance, that's a defining moment. And you're going to have them. I had them. Defining moments. To deal with unaccountability that wants to fester in our hearts, that's as far as God's going to be able to take you in life. As long as your attitude is, I'm going to be accountable only to myself. Defining moments. When God revealed to my heart that his church is not just for white people, or just exclusively for black people, or Hispanics, or Asians, but for all people, his people, multicultural and multigenerational, to reflect his eternal kingdom. And no matter the cost, do what God calls you to do. It's a defining moment. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for defining moments. Amen? This is a defining moment. This is a moment for someone to make some decisions. So let's stand together for a moment. Let's submit ourselves to the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow him to say to us what it is he needs to say.